that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I talked about this yesterday at the youth rally. I have loved the story of the brazen serpent. It is so clear of a picture of Jesus Christ that he literally, I mean, if John 3:16 didn't show it right here and say exactly, you see that picture. People died because of their sin, and Jesus Christ, God, gave them a way to be saved. And it wasn't automatically the people who, once the brazen serpent was up, people just started getting healed. They had to look to him and believe. How do you get saved today? You look to Jesus Christ and believe. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be hard. Why do people die and go to hell? It's their own choice. Jesus Christ did everything for you to not die and go to hell. By the way, those of you that are saved, when was the last time you sat there and just thought about it and said thank you to Jesus for the time, for the things he did? We lose sight of that too many times. I can't think of how many times I've just, you know, taken the sacrifice that Jesus Christ said and was like, hey, that was great. Let's go tell the lost, but I'm not ever going to be thankful for it. Sometimes we need to remember who Jesus Christ is, what he did for us, and be thankful for that. Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, we see here, you go look at the New Testament in Acts, it talks about, who is these verses talking about? Talking about Jesus Christ, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Points exactly who this is, but you go read it. Again, you read this on its own, it's pretty easy to see who it's talking about. Isaiah 53, verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he wasn't dying for his own sin. He was perfect. He was God himself. He had no sin. Every sin that he took on that cross, everything that he suffered, was for you. It was not on his own. He had no reason to be on that cross except for the love of you, for you and your sins. Do we really wrap our heads around that? He had no reason to be on this cross. He had no reason to come to this earth except to take on the form of man, to know sin on the cross, and die for your sins. No other reason but for you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, starting verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his people, or person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be unto him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, and saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels have said, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oils of gladness above thy fellows. And said, thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and in the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who be the heirs of salvation? We see Jesus here. Was it verse 8? The Father's talking to Jesus. He calls him, O God. Jesus Christ was God. And what did he do? He took on the form of man, became lower than the angels. His own creation, he became lower in for you. Do we fully understand how much of an insult it was for Jesus Christ to take on the form of flesh? It was an insult for him to become flesh for us. He humbled himself and became lower, equal to mankind. That's crazy that God would do that for you. And again, he got nothing in return except you, if you accept him. More often than not, he gets rejected for everything that he did. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Not only did he die on the cross for your sins, he became man to understand what you go through more, to be a better high priest for you. Do we understand how much of love that takes for it to become lower? Imagine the president of the United States leaving to be a president to go be some blue-collar worker in the mill, working 20, 40 hours a day, just trying to make a living. That's barely an equivalent to what Jesus Christ did. It's even more of an insult, what Jesus Christ did. And yet we think, no big deal. And, you know, we talk about it, and it's just, well, it's cool. He became man. That's great. But we also just say it so tongue-in-cheek. It's become so, I don't know, common for us that we forget exactly what Jesus Christ did for us.
Right.
We should be reminded of that sacrifice he did. Because, again, what did he get in return? He got us. A bunch of sinners, nobodies, that we don't even like each other very much. He gets us in return for the sacrifice that he made. How crazy is that what he did for us? Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes, with his blood, the blood that he suffered, he sacrificed. Isaiah 52, verse 14, and as many were astonished at these, his visage was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of man. Not only did Jesus Christ become man, he was ripped to shreds for you. You think about that. You know, you cut yourself, it hurts, you get blood everywhere. His visage was so marred, his form more than the sons of man. He didn't even look like a human being by the time he died on that cross. You talk about a sacrifice. Normal humankind wouldn't have been able to sacrifice that and go through everything that he went through. He went through what a normal person could suffer, plus some more, to make sure that the sacrifice was fully covered for you. You think you did anything for your salvation? You did absolutely nothing.
Right.
And we need to remember that when we start getting all high and mighty, thinking, well, we're better than everybody else. You're not better than anybody, because
right.
Jesus Christ died for all. Yeah. It's his precious blood that saves us. Turn to 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls.
Yeah.
Whose stripes ye are healed. Once again, we see Old Testament, New Testament explains exactly who that is. There should be no question or no doubt in your mind. Isaiah 53 is talking about one man, and that is Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made. Turn to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We see here, since the foundation of the world. Do you realize Jesus Christ was dreading the day that he was going to die on the cross since the foundation of the world? It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a shock. Jesus didn't think, well, I'm going to make Adam and Eve. And oh my goodness, they sinned. What am I supposed to do now? He knew exactly what they were going to do, and yet he still made them and loved them enough. You might think, well, why didn't he just start over? Kill Adam and Eve, start over. Because no matter what, someone would have sinned. And talk about love. When your children do something wrong, do you just want to get rid of them, start all over? No, you love them. You care about them. Jesus Christ loved you enough to say, you know what? They screwed up. I'm going to make a way for them to be right with me. I'm going to make that way. And the only way he could do it was with his blood. And I think, well, why is it that he had to die on the cross? I don't know. I don't know why he picked that way of salvation. All I know is that was the only way it could have been. Because if he could have done any other way, he would have. The only way he could have done it was his own sacrifice. You talk about love, understanding that from the second that man was created, he knew exactly where he was going to go. That one day he was going to be on Golgotha, the place of the skull on Calvary, and die on that cross for you.
Yeah.
Talk about love. Yeah. That is love right there. Turn to Luke 2, or 20. Luke 20. Luke 20, verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to his husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard, but the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and he entered himself shamefully, and he sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they had heard, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Jesus Christ sent person after person preaching of him. And what was the people's reaction? Kill him. Get rid of him. You look at the prophets. Not a single prophet led a good life. They were killed for standing for Jesus Christ. And they sent his own son. Jesus Christ, God's own son, was sent thinking maybe they might accept him. No, they rejected him. Turn to John chapter 1. John 1. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Turn to John 3. John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Jesus Christ was rejected by every single man, woman, and child that has ever lived on the face of this earth. Well, you might think, well, you know, first time I got convicted, I was saved. No, you had already rejected Jesus Christ. Every person on this earth who has sinned has rejected Jesus Christ. Not a single person that is living, ever lived, or ever will ever spend their life not rejecting Jesus Christ at some point. How crazy is it? The billions and billions and trillions of people who have lived from Adam and Eve till now, how many of them have rejected Jesus Christ? There's going to be a lot. I would say it's very much so higher number of people that rejected Jesus Christ than that accepted him. How crazy is it that he still was willing to die on the cross for you? To shed his precious blood. And that blood, it was precious. It was sinless. How crazy is that? Side note here, turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and start verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We have had a constant battle for years over wine for the Lord's Supper. Why do we not have wine for the Lord's Supper? That fruit of the vine represents his blood. If his blood wasn't precious, you don't have salvation. If the grape juice was fermented, it's not precious. It doesn't picture Jesus Christ's blood. That should be something we stand on. That should be something we take seriously. The blood of Jesus Christ is serious. People think, well, you're putting too hard of a stand on it. It's the blood that we have access to anything. The church, the salvation. It's the only reason we have any chance of a relationship with God is by that blood. You don't think we should make it as perfect and pure as we can get it? You don't think that's something to stand on? If that's not something to stand on, I don't know what is. Because, I mean, of all men most miserable, who are we without Jesus Christ? We have nothing. So, you know, total side note, just something a little freebie for you. We stand for a reason. There should be a reason we stand. And it's not because we like being right and we like telling other people they're wrong. It's because God made that stance. We're just doing what God says. That's why we take a stand. Turn to Titus 3. Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto them, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It is only his mercy and his grace. Mercy If you don't know, it means not getting something you deserve. You deserve punishment. You deserve hell. God's mercy gave you a way out of it. It's His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. You don't deserve salvation. God gave you grace to give you salvation. We read a few verses. Are we understanding the picture of how hopeless we would be without Jesus Christ? Let's read a couple more. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then your preaching is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You can have hope that Jesus Christ will come again and you will live forever because Jesus Christ did it. If Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross and raise again, we have no hope. But He did. So you can have hope. I don't have to worry about this life, what's going to happen. I know it's going to be in eternity. How cool is it that I know what's going to happen? I can tell the future a little bit. I know that one day in the future, saved are going to get raptured out of here. We'll get to be in heaven with Jesus Christ forever. That's kind of cool. That makes me sleep a little bit better at night. That should make you sleep a little bit better at night, that we have that promise. And by the way, how do we know it's going to happen? Jesus Christ did it. If Jesus Christ did it, He's going to do it for us. Amen. How cool is that? That God put that little verse in there. If in this life only we have hope, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. That's pretty cool. I like that verse. I don't know about you. That one makes me happy. Turn to Hebrews 1. Actually, we already read that. Turn to Psalm 45. So Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And if He stopped there, if Jesus Christ died on the earth, came to earth, died on the cross, rose again, and that was all He did, that would be more than enough. That is already more than enough. But not only did He do that, He then went to be up in heaven, sit on the right hand of the throne of God, and is constantly making intercession for us. The love continues. It wasn't just a kind of one-time thing and that's it. He is constantly still loving you and taking care of us, even though we don't deserve it. Psalm 45, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of kingdom is the scepter of thy right, is that right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I don't know why I read that verse, but go ahead and turn to Acts 8. Still a good verse. Still a good verse. Acts 8. Verse 54. When they heard these sayings, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on Him with their teeth. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. How cool is it that Stephen got to see this? He was dying, and in his flesh, he got to see Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of God. You know what's also cool? One day we're going to get to see that same exact thing. Yeah. We will get to stand before God. We will get to see God and Jesus Christ face to face. How many of us are looking forward to that day? We should all be looking forward to that day, but how many of us are thinking, well, let's not make it yet. Let's hold that off a little bit longer so I can get some stuff figured out. Jesus Christ can forgive you right now, get you ready to be ready to see Him in heaven forever. I'm looking forward to that day when I get to see my Savior face to face. You know, turn to Job 19. Job 19, verse 25, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. You go read in Luke, it says, Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Is Jesus Christ your Redeemer? If not, He can be before this day is over. He's still saving. His blood is still just as good as when He shed it the first time. He can still save you. How cool is it to know that it never stops until we get to be with Him forever? Jesus Christ is still saving. No matter how wicked this world gets, as long as there are people on this earth, Jesus Christ is still saving souls. I think about that. The tribulation period. The church is gone. The saved are gone. Jesus Christ is still saving souls. When everything in this world is evil, and God's presence is gone, he will still save souls. How crazy is that? That he's still saving souls then. Jesus Christ can still save souls today. Why do we think he doesn't? We lose faith. We forget who Jesus Christ is. We forget everything he's already done for us. We should not forget that, of how cool Jesus Christ is. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. There's a lot more we could talk about Jesus Christ. I mean, we're barely scratching the surface of everything that Jesus Christ talks about. You could spend your whole life looking at the Word of God to try to understand Jesus Christ. You'll spend your whole life and probably six other people's lifetimes and still not even understand fully. That's how amazing Jesus Christ is. That's how amazing God is. And the only time we'll be able to fully understand it is when we stand before him and we get to be with him forever. How crazy is it that he wants us to be with him forever? I can't wrap my head around that. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that we should follow in his steps. What else did Jesus Christ do? He didn't just die on the cross. He left us an example. He says, I want you to serve me. Here's how you do it. Go follow my example. He literally lived the life of what we should be. Christian, to be Christ-like. What does that mean? It means you just do what Jesus Christ did. So what did he do? Turn to Matthew. Well, he didn't have to get saved. He was perfect. So we got that covered. Salvation's done. What was after salvation? Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from the Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and it cometh thou to me. And Jesus answering and said to him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What was the next step after salvation? Baptism. What are you supposed to do after you get saved? Baptize. Read the next chapter. He starts his church. It's a perfect order. Saved, baptized, join New Testament church. That's what Jesus Christ did. Same exact example we're supposed to follow. By the way, you go look at the tabernacle, same exact picture with Jesus Christ being through all of it. It's like Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God. It's because he is. And let us perfect examples to follow in his steps one by one how to get there. Now, he's God. He didn't have to worry about sin. How do I overcome sin? The temptations. Life gets hard. Well, Jesus Christ has an answer for that too. Turn to Matthew 4, verse 1. When Jesus was led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He's quoting Deuteronomy, by the way. Verse 5. When the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And he said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy again. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, for thou wilt fall down to worship me. And he saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. The devil came and tempted Jesus three times. What was Jesus' response every single time? The Word of God. When you get tempted, how do you get out of it? Go to the Word of God, just like Jesus did. It's a perfect example, perfect steps of what to do. Well, I don't know what to do. Get to the Word of God. Jesus will show you what to do. You might think, I need more. No. John says we have what we need from God. He did a lot more. He chose the specific things in this Word of God because that's what he knew we needed. Let's just have a little faith in God and faith in Jesus that we have what we need. That's why we have the 66 words of God. Complete a Word of God, because it's everything that we need in life. You know, the Bible, what does it stand for? Basic instructions before leaving earth. It's silly, but it kind of makes sense. It gives you step-by-step instructions of everything, what to do before the time you're born to the time you get saved, baptized, join New Testament church, how to serve God in New Testament church, what's going to be afterlife. It's all written in the Word of God. Because Jesus Christ loves you enough to give you as simple instructions as possible. How much love does Jesus Christ have for you? How crazy is it that he did all this? Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. The other thing that Jesus Christ is, he is your judge. You will stand before him and answer for the things you've done to Jesus Christ. You'll answer for every action that you've made in this life. Why does he get to be the judge? Because he is the only reason we have an option to be even anything better than sinful, disgusting human beings. He gets to be the judge. And you will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We already read it in Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews 9. I lost it. 27, as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. You will see him as your judge. But here's the thing. You can stand before him, lost or saved. Lost or dying and going to hell. That's your options. Saved, you get to be in the bride or outside. How crazy is it that he saved your soul and then made you a city to be a part with him forever? To be the bride of Christ. Bride of Christ, you know, husband and wife, they're to be one. Jesus wants to be one with us. How crazy is it that, I can't understand what Jesus Christ did for us. Why does he love us that much? I don't know. All I know is he does, and I better be thankful for him. And I better say thank you more often than I do. And not only that, I should tell others about him. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came into everybody, the world, whosoever, all words that he's used to describe salvation. Do we share Jesus Christ to those around us? Or do we try to hold him back? We shouldn't hold him back. We should be lights in this world. It says we're supposed to be light on the hill. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I think of this verse a lot when I think of people like Jehovah's Witness. I have a coworker, Jehovah's Witness. They don't believe that Jesus is God. You know what the sad thing is? Whether you believe Jesus Christ is God or not, you will stand before him, and someday every single person is going to admit and confess that Jesus Christ is God. Amen. There's a lot of people that are missing the boat right now. Yep. That they don't think it. They don't think Jesus Christ is God because, well, it just can't be. I don't believe it. God doesn't care what you believe or not. It will come to pass that you will stand before Jesus Christ and confess that he is God. But you can do that before you get there, or you can do that when you get there. One way or the other, you're going to do it. But do you want to be on the right side of it or the wrong side of it? That's the choice that God gives you. You can be on the right side of him or the wrong side. Which side do you want to be? Jesus Christ doesn't want a single person to be on the wrong side of him. Hell wasn't created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels that made their choice to walk away from God. He didn't make that for mankind. But he will send you there if you refuse him. And he will do it, and he will be saddened to do it, but he'll do it, and you'll know it is your choice that you went to hell because of everything that Jesus Christ did for you. How crazy is that? The love of God. I mean, we're not even going to talk about all the other things. Psalms 18 talks about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus Christ can be your friend. You might be alone in this world. Jesus Christ is with you. You can have that friend in him. Turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. That he will be your shepherd. He will guide you. Peter talks about the shepherd, the bishop of your souls. What's a shepherd to do? A shepherd is to protect and lead. Jesus Christ can be your leader and your protector in this life. If you let him. If you reject him, he will let you make your mistakes and you will suffer for them. But he doesn't want you to suffer for your mistakes. He doesn't want you to make mistakes to begin with. He says, follow me, follow my example, and avoid those mistakes. Yeah, people might hate you, but he said, they hated me, they'll hate you. But then he gives us grace and mercy to be able to overcome that hatred. And he gives us things to look forward to. You might be hated in this world, but the world's temporary. Heaven's eternal, and you can get rewards in heaven eternally. How crazy is that? That he doesn't want you to care about this life because there's more important things that he talked about and told you about. He warned you. I don't know exactly what we're going to be doing in eternity forever in heaven there. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I know it's going to be there. I have the promises of God exactly what to expect. So I need to know exactly what I need to know from the Word of God, what's going to happen in heaven. And that's all I need to know that it's going to be better than anything on this earth. That's kind of cool that God gave us that, that Jesus Christ did that. Again, we're not, turn to Habakkuk 3. There's a lot in the Bible about Jesus and about God. And again, like I said, you could spend six lifetimes going over it and you're not going to get everything. You're going to miss things. You're going to forget things because he's ununderstandable. I don't think that's a word, but he's unfathomable. That's what it is. Unfathomable. Our human minds can't understand who Jesus Christ is fully. But he wants us to have a relationship with him. That's cool. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. When nothing else is going right in life, when everything is failing, when you're hopeless, you're sitting there alone, you have nothing to look forward to, Jesus Christ is right there with you. Amen. He can still help you through that. I think of the rich man Lazarus. Lazarus, he had no food. I don't think he was really sitting there lonely in life. He had Jesus Christ with him. And you look at Lazarus' life. He had a hard life on this earth, harder than any of us have ever experienced. I don't think he regrets his choices to follow God, because right now he is with Jesus Christ in heaven. Rich man, had everything he wanted in this life, and he's in hell right now, wishing he could go back and make the change and serve Jesus. Why do we have that story? To tell us and show us exactly what life goes when you choose one way or the other. What are you going to do with Jesus today? We didn't even talk about everything else he does. I mean, we can go to the Father in prayer because of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10, it says, his flesh, the veil rent, his flesh, we get to go through Jesus. We get to go to the Father through Jesus Christ. We as human beings get to give glory to the Father by who? Jesus Christ. Matthew 12, I think it is, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of him. We get to meet with Jesus Christ. That's just three things listed off there. What about everything else? We talked about he's an intercessor. He goes between. When we are sinful, terrible people that screw up, Jesus Christ is constantly talking to the Father saying, give him another chance. Give him another chance. Where would we be without Jesus Christ in our life? He is that mediator between God and man. He's the go-between. He has no reason to be that go-between. We have no reason that Jesus Christ should do anything for us. How crazy is it that he still loves us that much? Let's all stand as the song leader come. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ endured the cross, went through everything for us, and led us an example for him, to be like him. My question to you right now is first off, is Jesus Christ your Savior? What are you doing with Jesus Christ right now? What is your relationship like with Jesus Christ right now? If it's messed up, if it's wrong, get it right. He is still offering that to you. If you're lost, you can still know him before this day is over. What are we doing with Jesus? What number shall we sing? 100.